This week's podcast is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Please consider giving a gift to keep this podcast running along with other From the Top programming. Go to fromthetop.org. From NPR Music, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. We're in St. Paul, Minnesota, and today it's piano full time, as some of the best young pianists in America show us pretty much everything the piano can do. From solo, to duo, to chamber, to a big bombastic end with eight hands flying, if you like the piano and you like kids, this is the place to be. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, one of America's great concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks very much, everybody. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Today we are at the Young Artist World Piano Festival, taking place on the campus of Bethel University, just north of St. Paul, Minnesota, which this month during the festival is one of the greatest places in the world to be a pianist. Thanks very much to the festival and its artistic director, Dr. Paul Wirth, for bringing us here and for setting us up in this beautiful performance space, Benson Great Hall. Today, in addition to hearing the piano in most of its musical guises, we're going to hear young pianists from a wide range of ages. We've got a mature 18-year-old on the verge of college who loves the movies of Ingmar Bergman, 12 and 14-year-old sisters who have big-time Olympic dreams, and this 9-year-old on stage with me now. His parents named him William Yang, but at the festival, his piano posse knows him as...
Yangster the Gangster.
Yangster the Gangster. And where do you come from, Mr. Godfather, sir?
I come from Eden Prairie.
All right. You're going to start out our survey of the many musical roles of the piano with a piece that demonstrates the role we know best, the piano as solo instrument. Tell everyone what you're going to play.
The Scherzo in B minor, Opus 20, number 1, by Frederic Chopin.
Can't wait. Take it from the top.
Thank you.
William Yang, 9 years old, playing Chopin's B minor scherzo. He comes to us from Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Great performance there, William. Godfather. Yangster. I just call that great playing. And I love the... I wish we had this one on TV, because you do this sort of whip cracking at the end to like cut off. There's this like physical gesture that you do at the end. Woo. Yeah, where did you get that?
Well, my teacher, Dr. Paul Wirth, told me to do that because he thought it was going to be funny.
I'm totally stealing that. Now, not only are you a great performer, but I've been told you're a great observer. And this started way back, even like your first day of school. Tell us about that.
Well, when I was in preschool, I went to a Montessori school so they could let you like stand or sit wherever you wanted to. So I sit in the middle of the classroom, observing everybody else, like zipping up zippers and rolling up rugs, things like that.
Yeah. So how are your powers of observation? How have they helped you with the piano?
Well, sometimes they help me with master classes.
Master classes. So what goes on in a master class that your observations help you with?
Well, once in a master class with Dr. Nosikova, one of the clinicians here, she taught me a great strategy of using adjectives for different passages of a piece.
So, for instance, those two great crashing chords that open the scherzo, what adjective would you use to think about the sound?
Like grand, dramatic, yeah.
Dramatic, very good. And then when the scherzo part starts, how would you describe those passages?
Piercing.
Piercing, exactly. Very nice. William, I'm told you actually enjoy practicing. Is this true?
Yeah.
So there's one part of practicing, though, that I don't think you're the only one who has trouble with this, but I think you know what I'm talking about. What's your least favorite thing about practicing?
Like practicing slowly.
Practicing slowly. Is there a good reason to practice slowly? Why is it important?
Well, it like stretches your brain so you can think about the details, what's mm-hmm. more important than others, mm-hmm. and you have more time to correct yourself.
That's true. Very good. Very good. See, you know, you're not alone, though, in having difficulty actually doing it, though. Thinking about it and thinking it's a good idea. Practicing slowly is one thing every young pianist should do, but almost no young pianist or old pianists can do. Next pianist on the show is going to be Kenny Broberg, and Kenny's on stage with us. Kenny, you also can remember not being able to practice slowly when you were William's age, right?
Yeah, it's really hard to focus.
And do you think it's important? Have you come to find it's an important thing?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the most important part of my practice.
So did your teacher and parents just finally wear you down, or did you guys, well, Kenny, for instance, you know, you're 16, did you decide on your own that practicing slowly was the best way?
Well, kind of. My teacher had been trying to get me to, you know, do slow practice for a long time, and I was playing the most difficult piece I'd ever played, Liszt's Hungarian Rhapsody number 14, mm-hmm. And I was having a lot of trouble with it just technically, and so I tried the slow practice, and it worked very well, and I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, it's great advice. And William, however you're practicing, I think it's doing very, very well for you. It's really working. And great being with you, and thank you for leading off the program so fantastically well. Thanks very much. William Yang, 9 years old, from Eden Prairie, Minnesota. So, Kenny, you're from the big city in these parts, right?
Yeah, I'm from South Minneapolis.
And you're up next on our Steinway Concert Grand, but you're going to help us switch from our focus of that first piece, the pianist as soloist, to the focus for the rest of our show, the pianist as collaborator. And in that vein of collaboration, we've asked you to take on a very common role for the pianist, that of accompanist. Have you done much accompanying before?
No, this is really my first time as an accompanist.
It's kind of amazing. We picked a big project for you, and you're going to collaborate in this way with an extraordinary young cellist we've had on the program, 17-year-old John Henry Crawford from Shreveport, Louisiana, in the opening movement of the Brahms Cello Sonata in F major. And Kenny, since you're new to that game of collaborative piano work, I worked with you guys yesterday on how to set aside one's pianistic and soloistic instincts to let the cello carry the day. Awesome. Really good, you guys. Very good. Is that the first time you've played this together?
It is.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You know, I mean, first thing...
That's the first time I've ever played with, like, a string player.
If this is the first time that you've played with string instruments, your instincts are really quite good. You know, the first lesson of piano chamber music was the idea that you're trying to make a percussion instrument agree and make comfortable a sostenuto instrument, like a string instrument. And it's very much, it's not out of line to say that it's very much like asking Rene Fleming to be accompanied in some Schubert songs by a marimba, you know, because basically it's a percussion instrument. The way that the piano sound is derived is really sort of from the bottom up, despite the fact that all the good stuff, all the juicy stuff is in the right hand. Of course, we want to bring out that top line, but at the same time, if you listen to, well, my favorite chamber music pianist of all time was Sir Clifford Curzon, and he knew that the warmth of the piano comes from the bottom. So even within the right hand, Sir Clifford would probably not play... He would probably play... Now, what did I just do? I'm sort of... Well, tell me. Do you know what I'm doing?
You put the thumb over the fifth finger.
I'm playing a little heavier on the thumb.
Yeah.
Because what I'm saying is I'm trusting that the lower voice will fill the upper voice. I don't want to work too hard on the upper voice, because the more penetrative the sound, the less amenable it is to the cello sound.
I think the same goes for the cello. When the lower octave is louder and stronger, it improves the sonority greatly.
Yeah.
Like it's more round instead of piercing.
Round sound is what we're looking for. It's what we're looking for. And you're just, I mean, Kenny, you're just going with absolutely natural pianistic instincts. Clarity, you know, if you listen to a great Horowitz recording, is you know, there's a constant psychologic frame between, you know, this warmth of the bass note and the top part of the frame being the melody. But here we want to wherever possible, you want to find out what the warmest part of the sound can be, and normally that'll come from the bottom. We might experiment with that a little bit. Try it again from the beginning. That was great fun yesterday, you guys. And now, John Henry has joined us on stage. Welcome,
hey,
John
good
Henry.
To see you.
John Henry, I hope that Kenny picked up a thing or two at that rehearsal, but did you get anything out of it?
I certainly did. It was fabulous. It was great to enter the mind of a pianist for once and see what you people think.
That's right. You don't want to go there too often, John Henry, believe me. Okay, so you guys, let's hear this. Again, this is the first movement, Allegro Vivace, from the second sonata for cello and piano in F major by Johannes Brahms. I'm going to come turn pages for you guys. John Henry Crawford and Kenny Broberg playing Brahms' second piano and cello sonata in F major. It will be first movement, Allegro Vivace. That was really quite brilliant. And I can't get over it, Kenny. I mean, that being your first work as a collaborative pianist, that's really a handful and a head full. And I just think you did magnificently well.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed yourself. Now, since we're focusing on the piano today, we're going to talk a little bit more with Kenny. Kenny, I want people to know that your teacher is the excellent Dr. Joseph Zins. And talk about how you discovered classical music. It was really, really early, right?
Yeah, it was like 1 or 2 years old, probably maybe even earlier. Basically, my mom sat me in front of like the video of the three tenors, and I watched it so much that I could just like sing along with it. Like, wow. Literally, I was singing along with it.
More a countertenor than a tenor, I imagine, at that point. But
probably sounded pretty bad.
But. Yeah. But you knew all the tunes. Yeah. What, at age 2? I think that's pretty more remarkable. And so what turned you onto the piano then from there?
Well, my brother started piano before I did, and I heard a recording of Rachmaninoff's Third Piano Concerto, and I just absolutely loved it, and I wanted to play it, and I went on to, you know, listen to all his other piano concertos and basically everybody else's piano concertos, yeah. And I got started on the piano right after that.
But face it, though, there's nothing better than Rachmaninoff Third, right?
No, there isn't.
Yeah.
No.
You and I share another love beyond the piano, foreign films. Who are your favorite filmmakers?
Well, I like Ingmar Bergman. He's a Swedish filmmaker. And I like the movies made by Andrei Tarkovsky, who's Russian. Probably my favorite director would be Alfred Hitchcock.
Well, there you go. Hitchcock is my absolute favorite, but yeah. I'm amazed that at 16 you even know who Andrei Tarkovsky is. Which of the films? I like Solaris a lot, but what's your favorite Tarkovsky?
My favorite Tarkovsky movie is Andrei Rublev.
Oh,
it's the first one I saw.
I should have thought of that. See, he does everything better than me at this age. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And Ingmar Bergman, how about that? Which one is your favorite Bergman film?
Probably The Seventh Seal.
Yeah. Very famous, wonderful mm-hmm. film. The more I hear you, Kenny, the more I love hearing you. And gosh, the amazing work that you did for us today. And we just wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Great working with you and great being with you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kenny. Kenny Broberg, 16 years old, from Minneapolis.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
We've been talking about piano as a collaborative instrument, but how about the piano collaborating with itself? We're going to roll out a second piano to do that. And to play our two pianos, we've got two Lus, 12-year-old Serena Lu and her older sister, 14-year-old Cindy Lu. Cindy is with me to introduce this piece. So, you're Cindy Lou, not to be confused with...
Little Cindy Lou Who.
Right, we don't want to mislead our Dr. Seuss-loving listeners.
Well, I'm not a who.
Now, that may be true. But let's not get all blue. Tell everyone where you grew.
Blaine, Minnesota, and Serena did too.
But a Mozart sonata, that's what you're here to do.
D major, movement 1, Allegro con spirit 2.
Now, go join your sister. We'll applaud when you're through.
Thank you.
Cindy Liu, 14 years old, and Serena Liu, 12, from Blaine, Minnesota, playing from the Mozart Sonata in D major for two pianos. Well, I would have loved to have turned pages for you, but you did it all from memory, you guys. That was really amazing. You're not just beautifully synchronized, but beautifully just digested and interpreted. What a wonderful and enthusiastic and energetic performance.
Thank you.
So lovely. And you guys are dressed so beautifully, too. You guys are dressed a little like gymnasts. What's going on here, Serena?
Well, besides playing piano, we love to do rhythmic gymnastics.
Rhythmic gymnastics. And how long have you been doing this?
Well, I've started when I was almost 6,
and I was 8.
Wow. So I understand rhythmic gymnastics is an Olympic event, right?
Yes.
But it's not really very well known in this country. Cindy, explain what it is, and explain these props that we have on stage for you.
Rhythmic gymnastics is different from artistic gymnastics because we don't have bars, beams, or the vault. We do everything on the floor. And in addition to, you know, performing exercise on the floor, we have these props. Up here is the hoop and ball, and the rest we do is the rope, the clubs, and the ribbons.
Oh, so I've seen sort of this choreography and incredible limberness and ensemble that you need to have in order to do these routines. Let's be clear here. You guys are very, very serious about this. I mean, tell everyone where you were 2 weeks ago.
We were in Chicago at the Junior Olympics.
Yeah, and we really hope someday we can actually qualify for the Olympics.
Has the U.S. sent a rhythmic gymnastics team to the Olympics ever?
Well, there was one, but she was a dual citizen from Canada, but she represented America.
Well, yeah. We can't have that, can we? So you guys are going to go to the Olympics, I bet.
We sure hope so.
That's pretty awesome. You guys are doing both piano and gymnastics so intensely and at such a high level. Does that stress you out?
No, we like it this way. It's you know, balancing. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I can't imagine life without the two of them.
Actually, you guys combined your interests of the piano and rhythmic gymnastics at a concert recently. Tell us about that.
Yes, we were at the Minnesota Orchestra, and we were doing the Carnival of Animals. So we played piano with the Minnesota Orchestra, and then at the end, we came out doing the finale. We did our rhythmic gymnastics.
Wow.
It was fun.
With the orchestra on stage. Yeah, I bet it was fun. Well, listen, since you've got your props and you're dressed for the occasion, how about you spice up your exit from the stage with a little demonstration? Would you mind?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great. Hey, Joanne,
yes.
Have you got your flip cam out for this?
I sure do. Look for the video at fromthetop.org.
Oh, good. We've got video. Okay, you two, go for it. Cindy Liu, 14, and Serena Liu, 12, our pianists and rhythmic gymnasts from Blaine, Minnesota.
We're on the road over the next few weeks, taping a whirlwind of live shows. We'll be in Iowa, California, New York, Maryland, Indiana, Virginia, and Oklahoma. Don't miss your chance to see a From the Top show live. For details, go to fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. From the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.
From NPR Music, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. Welcome back. This week we're coming to you from the Young Artist World Piano Festival, taking place on the campus of Bethel University in St. Paul, Minnesota. Coming up, more amazing young pianists and the music of Ravel and Smetana. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's show in St. Paul is made possible with support from the Minnesota State Arts Board, the Central Minnesota Arts Board, and Schmidt Music. Chris.
Today's survey of the piano in its many guises continues now with a beautiful example of the piano as partner in chamber music, in this case, in a piano trio. To perform it, meet a great group of Minnesota teens who call themselves the Aurelia Trio. They are violinist Nora Scheller, 17, from St. Peter, cellist Jocelyn Schendel, 18 years old, from Minneapolis, and pianist Colton Peltier, 15 years old, from Hastings. Please welcome them. By the way, Nora, our violinist, is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists, and she's now at the microphone. Nora, what have you brought to play?
We're going to play the first movement of Ravel's piano trio in A minor. It's titled Modere.
Beautiful piece.
Thank you.
The Aurelia Trio, Nora Scheller, 17-year-old violinist, our cellist was 18-year-old Jocelyn Chendel, and our pianist, 15-year-old Colton Peltier, all studying here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. I'll just say straight out, that's my favorite piano trio of all time, and you guys just play it so beautifully.
It's such an amazing trio.
It's a great, great piece, but you guys really, really play it, and it's such a great connection that you get. The sound that you get, the way you get into each other's sound is just exemplary and inspiring.
Thank you.
Most kids on this show describe some experience or some influence that made them want to take their playing up to a higher level. And the three of you have interesting and contrasting stories about what inspired each of you to excel. Jocelyn, what was it for you?
For me, it was a teacher. For a while, I was just playing kind of after school as an activity, and then he really encouraged me to start doing competitions and going to summer camps and meeting people doing chamber music. And it became no longer really an activity, but more of a lifestyle. Wow. And he was a big influence.
That's a great thing. Nora, how about you? I guess it was one of your peers.
Yeah. Right? 2 years ago at a summer camp quartet program, which our coach Tom Rosenberg knows about, I was in a string quartet with an amazing violinist. She was just really incredible. Her name was Sabrina Tabby. She was just an amazing player. Like, she just played so, so beautifully. And I learned, like, so much from playing with her that summer. And it really raised... It kind of like raised my expectations of myself too.
Well, Sabrina, so. We've actually had on the show before.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you bring in the quartet experience, because mm-hmm. oftentimes, you know, in some situations, the first violinist can be, you know, cracking the whip and not really mm-hmm. doing much by the way of encouragement or inspiration. It can mm-hmm. really be sort of a drag.
Well, but I think just playing with her was yeah. really inspiring for me.
Mm-hmm.
It raised the bar for me, honestly.
Yeah, sounds like a really positive experience.
Yeah, it was. It was great.
And Colton, how about you? What lit your fire for the piano?
For me, it was the wonderful teachers I had, and then also the love for the instrument that I grew with when I was really young, like 3 years old. I just loved the instrument, making new noises and sounds, trying new things with what I could do on the piano, and always trying to better my playing and... It's always been encouraging for me.
You liked the piano, but I don't even think you had a piano. You had a keyboard drawn on paper for a while, right?
Yeah, I did. When I was like 3, just starting out, my parents didn't have a piano yet, so we drew like little piano keys on a book. That was only for like 2 weeks, though, because after that I was on a keyboard, and then an upright, then a grand piano, and then another one. So...
Taking the upgrade all
yeah,
the way upgrades. Along.
Yeah, and taking the upgrade.
doing magnificently all along the way, too. Now, the coach of this trio, Tom Rosenberg, is the artistic director of the prestigious Fischhoff Chamber Music Competition. And you guys have a great story about your experience at the Fischhoff competition this year about not winning.
What happened is we played our best, and we didn't get to the finals, and Nora and I were kind of down on ourselves. We were kind of upset.
Yeah,
and Colton...
we were kind of like... It wasn't so much fun, like, after we found out we weren't in finals.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Yeah.
Yeah, we were kind of sad, and so Colton came out, and he said, hey, we really played our best.
And it was true.
It ended up being a really positive experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, after Colton said that, we were, like, a lot...
Thank
happier
you.
About it. So.
Colton, good for you for pulling that out of the fire like that. I mean, you know, that sort of positivism. I mean, because as you said, it was, I guess, at the Fischhoff, would you say, the best performance you've done of this piece?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what you want to remember. You don't want to remember the gold medal or
no.
stuff like that. You want to remember an experience that's going to, you know, imprint itself so that, you know, you go to your next musical experience thinking, yes, that was the high that we felt, and mm-hmm. that's what I want to remember, and that's how I want to enter the stage in every experience that I have.
It was definitely a more positive experience.
Yeah.
The bonding and the positivism and the enthusiasm and the just... keyed into each other feeling that we get from this performance is obviously it's obviously a labor of love and obviously mutual inspiration, and we're just so privileged to have had you on the program.
Thank you all for being here.
Thank you. The Aurelia Trio, Nora Scheller, Jocelyn Chendel, and Colton Peltier.
Nora, the violinist in the trio we just heard, is a great example of someone who was really changed by a peer role model. From the Top is all about that. Each performer on our show goes through our arts leadership program, which includes training, service projects, and getting kids to think of the positive ways they can influence others. Check it out at fromthetop.org. Over the last 4 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Our piano-themed show is now hurtling toward an appropriately big finish. 8 hands at 2 grand pianos, in fact. I'm going to leap into action and provide one pair of those hands, but joining me will be 3 outstanding teenage pianists, Liza Ali, 16 years old, Leo Waxler-Mann, 17, and Reed Tetzloff, 18. They're all from the Twin Cities area. Now, not only do you 3 share the Twin Cities as your home turf, you share the same extraordinary teacher. Who's that, Reed?
We study with Dr. Paul Worth.
Yes. Paul is also the artistic director of this great festival and our host for today's program. Anyway, the fact that you all share the same teacher means that we can talk about some of the less than obvious traits of a great piano teacher. Liza, you told us something about Paul's studio that makes it quite special.
Yeah, all of us are really, really good friends, even beyond music classes and things that he really puts together for us, like musicales, which are monthly recitals, which we all go and play for each other. What we look forward to most is hanging out afterwards.
So Paul's systematic and thoughtful pedagogy is known throughout the nation, but he also builds this social cohesion among his students. And to celebrate both, and also to celebrate Paul, I've reluctantly agreed to take a quiz. You'll see what I mean. Describe this, Leo.
Oh, I thought you had a great name for this quiz earlier today. What was it?
Oh, Worths of Wisdom.
Worths of Wisdom. Yeah, well, Paul is famous for throughout his studio for just seeming to have an endless supply of analogies to throw at us while we're practicing and playing in his studio. And there doesn't seem to be an end to them. You can just kind of cycle through them and you never seem to come around to the beginning again. It's pretty crazy. So we asked Paul to record a few incomplete sentences and we want you to fill in the blanks.
Okay, you game?
I'm kind of intimidated actually, but I'll go for it.
Well, here's the first question.
Okay.
You know, playing the piano is kind of like driving a race car. The driver is you and your musical ideas. The engine is your
The engine is your technique.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's completely
right.
You
cheated.
I did not cheat, I swear. This is,
right.
Do you have an answer sheet up your sleeve?
We rehearsed today, but I had to leave when they did this part. I'm not cheating. So I'm hoping to screw up some of these.
I'm
right?
impressed.
But is that, but that's
what it says? Yep.
So give me the next analogy.
A pianist choosing the wrong is like a surgeon choosing the wrong scalpel. One does in the music, the other does in the patient.
Okay. I don't know. There are a couple of things that could work for that. I would, because I know Paul is very keen on having the right fingering for a passage, but I also tend to think that tempo is a very, very interesting choice. I'm going to go with tempo.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Use your 50-50 and you'd guess wrong.
Oh,
the answer was fingering.
Fingering. So fingering. It was fingering. I should have gone with my instincts. I should have gone with,
What can you do?
What can you do? But, okay. So the last analogy.
A musician who knows the 8 ingredients of music is like a cook who can cook.
A cook that can make a great meal?
No, it's actually anything. A cook who can cook anything. Because if you know the 8 ingredients of music, from those fundamentals, you can take that and whip up anything that you want.
I'm learning so much tonight. This is really great. This is really great. So what are those ingredients, according to Paul, Liza?
There's 8 of them. Melody and form and...
Dynamics.
Harmony.
Texture.
They know them better than I do. I should know them better. Anyways, there's also a 9th ingredient, which is mystery, which no one even knows what that is, so...
Well, Our eight-hand piano finale is certainly a great tribute to your excellent teacher, Dr. Paul Wirth. Reed, would you please introduce the piece?
Yes, we're going to be playing the sonata in one movement, but for two pianos and eight hands by Bedřich Smetana.
A rousing way for us to finish this piano extravaganza. I want to thank all of our great young performers today, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Lisa, Reed, and Leo, we're going to take this from the top.
Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardios-Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett with David Forbes and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear on our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from MetLife Foundation, committed to promoting healthy families and good nutrition, on the web at metlife.org. From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR.